The witnesses that initially are reluctant to come, what do you say to them to convince them to change their mind?
I think what we tell them, it's only that the truth has to come out one day. It's only, we try to persuade them only that they have to contribute to the search for justice. Because if, for instance, somebody is in a prison because someone has held any vital information, we try to convince that it's better that somebody be courageous and enlighten the whole world on what happened. Of course, we try to explain the protective measures, protection of identity, for instance, and that is all, because we don't have any other measures to. It's only to try to convince them on the need to tell the truth before this tribunal, so that one day the chamber might render a judgment knowing what happened at a particular date, at a certain place. It's all.
And would you, are there aspects of the protective measures, and also you mentioned the financing and the limited resources, if you had control to create the ideal system, what changes would you make that would make it easier to convince witnesses to come forward and testify?
I don't think the finance side that does really matter in those kind of, because you cannot promise somebody a reward for having testified that it will completely destroy the whole system, because in that case you will get even false testimonies. If you promise money, the whole system will collapse immediately. It's no longer ethical, or you will no longer be searching for justice. You will be just bribing people to get, you know, this is very. But what I can say is that if, for instance, somebody expresses fears of danger, I mean, prosecution, for instance, for having testified, I think the tribunal, the UN body that has created this tribunal, should look into ways of, I mean, addressing that fear, because if somebody is fearful for his life, for instance, and gives some kind of concrete information that make him fear for his life, I think the tribunal at the UN should deal with that kind of problem. And if somebody maybe want to be relocated to another place, I'm just thinking like this. I don't know if it's practical, but I think the UN should look into such kind of difficulties expressed by potential witnesses, either for the prosecution or the defense. I'm not making any difference, but it's all.
You mentioned that you started as an investigator and then worked your way up to counsel. And as an investigator, I'm sure you must have seen a lot of pretty horrible things. How did you cope with that?
I've heard many stories. I'm trying to cope with those stories. Okay, that it depends on the personal capability or capacity of each and everyone to deal with those kind of stories. In fact, I'm not even the only one. Even those, all the people who have been involved in the trial proceedings, for instance, even interpreters or court recorders or court reporters, I think, they have heard in their ears so many horrible stories, either from the prosecution side or from the defense. So I think that is a reality we'll have to live with. It's it will be part of our lives until we die. So I don't know. I'm trying to cope with those things.
Do you get the sort of support you think you need here to do that?
Here at the tribunal? Mm-hmm. No, because... No, I think, I don't know that if the tribunal does have such kind of support facilities, I don't know. I have never heard such kind of things.
Do you think they should have such facilities?
I think so, but I don't know if, because now the tribunal is going quickly toward its end. Everybody's talking about the compressing strategy. The budgetary problems and so forth. I don't think they do think about creating another department or what. I don't know. I think so.